Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Bishop Will T. Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life, power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teachings opportunity, please visit www.cccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15, must study, showing thyself approved unto Jehovah, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly divine word of truth. Shalom. Happy Pasah. Pasah, P-A-S-A-H, but the H in the Hebrew is silent, so it is Pasah. Pasah means to skip about, leap about. And the whole idea started in 1491. In 1491, after serving 430 years in Mizraim, who you call Egypt, and in bondage the last part of that, Yahweh delivered his people. They had begun in Mizraim 1,921 years before. And if we look at it up to this time, it's 3,935 years. And the Hebrew people have celebrated Pasah all this time. So we're not here to celebrate a rabbit. We don't know how he came into being, but if I could think like the devil, I would think the most important thing to subvert is the resurrection. Get people's mind off of the resurrection. Because the heart and soul of the Christian faith is in the resurrection. So we are not hunting or coloring Easter eggs today. Amen. If you'll notice, the kids are not walking around with Easter baskets. We are not here to even celebrate Easter, because Easter was taken from Asteria, a Teutonic goddess. And when I say Teutonic goddess, that was the pagans of Europe who the Catholic Church decided to bring into the faith by including some of their observance in with our observance. And so they renamed it Easter. There is no record of the church ever celebrating any holiday named Easter. Yes, in Acts 12, there is a comment about the apostle Shaul had to be in Jerusalem for Easter. That's a mistranslation. The apostle Shaul had to be in Jerusalem for Passover. You see, even the Hebrew Christians continued to celebrate Passover, Pasah. So, I would like to today, I'm not going to try to make you happy, although this is a sad and happy occasion. When I think that Yeshua died for me, that he had done no wrong, and when I look at my life and the things that I have done, to think that he would lay down his life for no count like me, is amazing. It's amazing. You see, I'm not going to hide behind some fake idea that I was a good guy and that I treated everybody right. I was a horrible man. And even when I was in my sin, at the very depths of that sin, Yeshua's blood reached out to me. Amen. So, I hope today simply to recount some things to make you more knowledgeable about what we are celebrating here today. And as I said before, 1491 BC, before Christ is what that simply should stand for. The Hebrew people cried out to Yahweh in bondage in Mizraim. And Yahweh sent Moshe to deliver them out of their bondage. And here's Yahweh's word. On the seventh day of Nisan was Abib. You will take a lamb of 1 year old, and on then you will put that lamb up until the 14th day of Nisan, and you will kill that lamb on the 14th day, and you will take the blood and you would place it up on the cover of your door, not doorpost. They wasn't living in houses. They were living in tents. So the flap, the cover, when they closed that door for that night, you could see the blood up on the cover of that door. And he said, and when I, because I'm going to pass through the land of Mizraim tonight, and when I see the blood, I'll jump over you. I'll skip over you. I'll leap over you. When I see the blood. Why you say skip and leap? See, there's a lot of folks living around us that didn't accept the blood. So I'm going to leap over you and get them. And leap over the next one and get them. So when I see the blood, I'm going to leap over you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Even now, when I see the blood, I'm going to leap over you. Because if you have the blood applied to your life, the things that's happening to other folks, I'm not going to let happen to you. I'm going to leap it over you. Yes. So they took the blood of a lamb without blemish, and they put the blood upon the covering of their door. And that night, the death angel moved through the land of Mizraim. You called it Egypt, misnomer. Moved through the land of Mizraim. And every firstborn of every house that did not have the blood died. And the people of Israel, they really were not Israel at that point, a nation. They were the sons of Yaakov, down in slavery, 430 years. And Yahweh delivered them from that slavery. But the whole idea of this was that Yahweh would deliver them. But there would be another one coming, other than Moshe, who would deliver the whole world. Anyone who believed would be delivered from their sin. And that's why we are here today. on the 14th day of Nisan, Yeshua was put to death on the cross. The very same day that over 1,200 years ago was done down in Egypt, Mizraim, that exact same day, Yeshua was put to death on the cross. Could that be a coincidence? I would dare say not, and we will explore that today. Let's go to the book of Yohanan. You call it John 19. After this, Yeshua, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Yeshua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. If you do not read this carefully, you would think that he said it is finished because he was glad to get beyond the misery of what was done to him on that day. You would think he said it is finished to get beyond the suffering that he went through that day, but that's not the case at all. He wasn't saying it's finished because it's over now and I don't have to suffer anymore. Because he said in Yohanan, the 12th chapter, for this cause, talking, came I to this hour. And he said in Netanyahu, I came not, think not that I came to destroy the Torah and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but I came to fulfill. And so what Yeshua was doing was fulfilling the scripture that had already been laid down over 1,200 years before he was ever born into this world. Let me show you something. Let's go back to Yohanan 19. After this, Yeshua, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, it is finished. He said, I have completed that was prophesied of me over 1,300 years ago. It seems strange that God would wait all of that time before he would accomplish that he had promised in Adam and Eve. But the Bible said, Yahweh, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love, for with he loved us. Huh? He is what? Rich in mercy. Java had to give man the opportunity to see if he could save himself. Most men have thought through the ages that they could save themselves. And so he had to give the ancients an opportunity to save themselves. And they couldn't. He had to give us in this modern time the opportunity to save ourselves. But he knew we could not do that. It is proven that we could not do it. So let me show you Berosheth 3. And I'm not going to keep you any longer than I have to. Eighth verse. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And we'll just accept that. That's not exactly what he said. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That sounds so peaceful, doesn't it? They heard the voice of Yahweh moving, the Hebrew would say, moving in the garden in the cool of the day. But this was an awesome time. It was a good time. You see, Adam and Eve, who were created to live forever, time never began until Adam and Eve sinned. And then time began. And so for those who try to make the time 6,000 years of creation are simply missing the mark. There was no time. These two people were created to live forever. And that is Yahweh's original intent, that the humankind would live forever. If you could use 50% of your brain, you could walk on water. But because of sin, decay set in. Adam had power. He commanded in the garden. If you will notice, Satan never said a word to Adam. Adam was too high for him. He could only talk to the second who were created, Eve. But for Adam, he was on another plane. But as it was then, so it is now. We sometimes lose everything we men for a woman. I just said, sometimes we'll lose everything for a woman. It's sort of like what happens. Powerful men are bought down because of a woman. So that talks about how powerful women are. They can latch hold to a powerful man and drag him down to the depths. Eve latched hold to this powerful, eternal man who stood above all in glory. She drug him down. But that's not our sermon today. That's not today. We'll save for a different time where I give you all a chance to show up if you want to. See, today, some of you here haven't been to church all year. So you're not here to hear me talk about Adam being dragged down. You're here to get some little joy out of something. What? You come once a year, you don't want to leave here sad. But they heard the voice of Yahweh moving through the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim amongst the trees of the garden. It seems like if you heard Yahweh moving, you would run to him and join in. But see, they had sinned. And they had lost their innocence and lost their power over time. Adam still lived to be 960 years old. It took a lot of time for the eternal glory to wear off that man. But it wore. And he left us in Seth. Weak, hopeless, without power. Don't you come up and tell me how about all the power you've got. I know what you got. You ain't got none. Amen. And so here is where it began. And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? You were always here. You always met me. You was always glad to see me. He was always wanting to pray. He was always wanting to be in my presence. Where are you? He knew where he was. But he had to ask him the question to get him to try to think about, why are you hiding? Drop down to the 14th verse. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because, you know, the blame game began. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed Nahashi. It's not a serpent. This translation says serpent, but it's not no snake. It never was a snake. It was Nahashi in the Hebrew, the enchanter. The one that, you know, he keep talking to you, and before you know it, he got you thinking like he thinks. Nahashim. Get thee behind me, Nahashim. Because you talking to me. Y'all don't get it, do you? You're whispering in my ear. So Adam blamed Eve. You know, the woman always gets the blame. If it wasn't for the woman that you gave me, everything would be all right. I've been pastor for a long time, and the first thing a man say when he comes to my office, that woman. I said, what's going on, that woman? Man, I'm telling you. They, ain't no, they have no part in it. It's that woman. So Adam said, it's that woman. And when Yahweh said, Eve, what happened? She said, it was that snake. That it was Nahashim, that enchanter. The English call it the snake. And sometimes it's a lot funnier to say the snake, but it's not quite accurate. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go. Now, when you read this in the Hebrew, you'll understand that what Yahweh was doing was bringing him down to the dust. Bringing him down. So you see, he was a very powerful entity. But Yahweh was bringing him down to the dust. And so the Hebrew would say, but on the incline, you will go. And thou shalt eat all, and dost thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Notice, the woman. He's always going to attack first the woman, because the woman now becomes his arch enemy when she was his confidant. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, her seed will, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first indication that trouble is coming for this man's seed and for Satan. And eventually Satan had him murdered here in Yohanan, the 19th chapter. But he thought he had done away with him. But he only bruised his heel. But this seed is going to stump his head in the end. And so when he said it is finished, he's accomplishing this that has been written from the beginning. Revelation said that a lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And so Yeshua is saying it is accomplished. Now look at Yeshayahu, and we'll speed along here. Yeshayahu 9. And we'll see what he's fulfilling here. Sixth verse. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, El Shaddai, the Everlasting Father, Shah Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh Zeviot will perform So the promise, the prophecy, unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is given. And a new government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, El Shaddai, Shah Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And his kingdom there shall be no end. He said, it is finished. Look, if we would, at Tehillim 22. You call it Psalm. Forgive me if I don't keep to the normal protocol of the church world today. Over 650 years before Yeshua was ever born, this came. But I am a worm, sixth verse, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. Remember, when you read about the crucifixion, they laugh at him. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on in Yahweh that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. 650 years, the crucifixion is being described long before it occurs. 12th verse, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones out of joint. Here, describing how he felt doing this crucifixion. Because remember, he was hung with nails in his hand. And there was a little stand they could stand on to relieve themselves. But when you stand there for so long, you'd have to give in to the knee, and then you're held up just by your arms, and your arm joints begin to feel like they are coming out of the socket. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, because blood now is beginning to fill his abdominal cavity because of the way he's hung. It melteth in the midst of my bowel. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for the dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hand and my feet. And so when Yeshua said, it is finished, he used the word kala, meaning to bring to completeness. I have now fulfilled all of the scriptures, and my death now completes that. However, if this was the end, if this was all there were to it, then our only hope would be the grave. If as far as he went was to the grave, then we would have no hope but to go to the grave. 1 Corinthians 15. So the enemy, Nahashim, what he is attacking is the resurrection. Because if he can keep him in the grave, he got us in the grave. But thank Yahweh, it didn't end there. But listen what the apostle Shaul said in the 12th verse of the 15th chapter. Now if Mashiach be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Mashiach not risen? And if Mashiach be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If he didn't get up from that grave, everything we do is vanity, because it means nothing. Yes, yea, and we are found false witnesses of Yahweh, because we have testified of Yahweh that he raised up Mashiach, whom he raised not up. That is, if it's true that there is no resurrection. If so be that the dead raised not. For if the dead raised not, then is not Mashiach risen. And if Mashiach be not risen, be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sin. He said, it's finished. Kallah. I have completed the prophecy. But after every ending of a certain cycle, there is a new beginning. And if that ended at all, we have no hope. But if that ended the old cycle, and he has finished and completed the prophecies, then a new thing must now begin. Luke 24. And let's start in the first verse. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And so what they decided, see, because they didn't have the kind of faith and understanding that Yeshua had tried to convey to them, they were going to come and mummify the body. They were going to put the spices on his body and wrap his body and mummify his body. And they found the stone rolled away. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the door was open. The door was open. The stone was what? Rolled aside. See what they had. You haven't been to, how many of you been to Jerusalem? Somebody went with me. Okay, right here, right there. Praise Yahweh. And Sister Torres been to Jerusalem. Sister Harris been to Jerusalem with me. Amen. And you go to the sepulchre, the grave, and these stones were pushed aside. And when they put the body in, they pulled the stone. These was heavy stones. You know, no couple of women could roll the stone away. Had to be a few men. But when they got there, the grave site from which they buried Yeshua was open. And third verse, and they entered in and found not the body of Yeshua. Yahushua, they would call him here. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, what's going on here? What happened? Thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These were angels. They got shining garments. You know, nobody else's garments shine. You can wash your garments all you want to, but they ain't going to shine. So if this was somebody else with the garments shining, with shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces, they fell on their faces to the earth. They said unto them, that's the angels, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. I said, he is what?
Not here.
You will not find him here in the grave. Yeah, you killed him, or they killed him. They put him in the grave, but he is not here anymore. But is risen. But is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. A new beginning. A new beginning. He's the first fruit of them that slept. He started something new. And he said, anyone who wants a new life, come unto me. And I will give you everlasting life. I will take you back to the stage of Adam and give you eternity for life. And you, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. But before he could declare the new life, which he did, he said, and I'm alive forevermore. But before he could declare that new life, he had to fulfill one other scripture. He had to fulfill one other scripture. And let me take you to that, and we'll end it here. Ephraim 9. And I'll tell you a little story as we get to the scripture. There was a type that was in the Old Testament. And that was the blood of the sin sacrifice, the tabernacle in the wilderness, the priests would take the blood and he would take it into the most holy place, through the holy place, into the most holy place, come and going. The holy place was dedicated, a type of the church. The most holy place was the presence of Yahweh. And so they would take this blood and they would place it upon the mercy seat there in the most holy place, between the cherubim, between the Shekinah, right, in the midst of the Shekinah glory that hovered over the mercy seat. They would take it there. And if you've heard of the Day of Atonement, they received atonement, the nation of Israel, for their sins. God covered their sins for a whole year. He didn't take them away. He just said, I won't look at them no more. They're still there, but I'm not going to look at them anymore. But you see, the new thing, it's going to take away the sin once it is there. 23rd verse of the 9th chapter of Ephraim Hebrews. Talking about Moshe. 20th verse. Saying this is the blood of the testament which Yahweh has enjoined unto you. That's what Moshe would say. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood upon the tabernacle and all of the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the Torah. Says law, but it's always the Torah. By the Torah is purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. For all of those who say they serve God, but they don't have to go through Yeshua, there's no remission. No one can go directly to Yahweh. Everybody must come through the blood of Yeshua. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. If it was therefore necessary, somebody say necessary. Somebody say imperative. Somebody say something had to happen without a doubt. Therefore it was necessary, therefore, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, that is blood. But the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. You see, they actually put the blood of bulls and of goats and of lambs up on the mercy seat. But that was a pattern. It wasn't the real thing. How many of you do sewing? Oh, God. Y'all don't. Oh, got one there. Okay, two or three back there. Okay, a couple of them. Do you sew the pattern? Yeah, you know the paper pattern. Do you take that and stitch it up? No. You cut out material. See, I know more than some of you women. You cut out material in the shape of the what? Of the pattern. And then you sew that material together, the pattern was not the dress. It was only a pattern of the dress. The dress is the real thing. So it was necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these, that is blood, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these animals. 24th verse. For Mashiach is not entered into the holy place made with hands. He never went into the temple in the most holy place, which are a figure of the truth. A figure is mean type. It is not the real thing, but it's a what? It's a type. It is, it's the same as a pattern. It shows you what the real thing should look like when the real thing is brought into existence. But the figure of the truth, that into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of Yahweh for us. Look at the name and say, for me. For me. He had to take the blood, his own blood, into the mercy seat in heaven, in the presence of Yahweh, and present that blood for us. So when I receive the blood, that blood is in heaven for me. And so I am saved because I'm saved on earth and in heaven. Look at your neighbor's neighbor. I got double salvation. I'm saved here, and I'm saved in heaven. Hallelujah! That's what the resurrection is all about, to take the blood to heaven for us. How dare you? How dare you turn away from that? How dare? Nor yet that he should, 25th verse, that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. He said, look, if he had to just enter in often every year, then he would be suffering every year from the, what do you mean, from the foundation of the world? Well, every year from the foundation of the world, a lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And even though the lamb was not dead yet, the lamb of Yahweh was not dead yet, but in Yahweh's economy, when he deems something so, it is so, even though it has not happened. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? When Yahweh deems something to be so, it is so, even though it takes 2,000 years for us to receive it. It is so with Yahweh right then. I was saved right then. Because the blood was shed in Yahweh's mind 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. People, you're not messing with some fly-by-night God. You're not messing with a God who decided yesterday to save you. You are dealing with the eternal God who decided from the foundation of the world to save you. You can keep squirming all you want to. You can keep trying to get back out there all you want to. You can keep acting up all you want to. But you better watch out. He might have to take you home early. Go ahead on. See, some people, you have to, mama have to call you in for dark. Matthew! Mama used to call me, Will T, come in here. Well, when mama called, you better get to step in. I know y'all that don't apply to you young people today. Mama called, you say, oh man, I ain't studying her. No, but when mama called, back in my day, you better get to step in. Because mama wasn't playing. Because mama had one of them switches that didn't break. I don't know where they got them switches from, but off them elm trees or cherry trees. But those switches never broke. You can snap them all you want to. So sometimes God has to call you home before your time. Because you won't act right. Johnny, you out there playing? Johnny, fight. Johnny, come on in here. And when God calls, you got to answer. Hallelujah. If you don't answer, he's going to snatch you anyway. For then must he often have suffered, 26 verse, since the foundation of the world. But now once, somebody say one time, in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, Satan bruised his heel. He killed him, but you can't kill him because Yahweh has deemed that he shall live forever. And so Yahweh raised him up from the dead. And he made one sacrifice. And that sacrifice is forever. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm saved forever. I'm saved forever. Hallelujah. But now I want you to know a little secret. This is not once in, never out. I was talking to somebody this morning. They said, they was talking about, now there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Yahushua, and they stop right there. But he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, he's risen from the dead. He's risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because he's risen from the dead, so I too will live forever. And even though I die, yet I will live. Because he died, yet he lived. Song today, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Because of the blood of Yeshua, which he put there on the mercy seat of Yahweh in heaven, now I have everlasting life. Hallelujah. My brothers and my sisters, this is not a bunny rabbit day. This is not an egg hunt day. This is not a day to dress up special. Put on whatever dress you got and come on, because you saved. Hallelujah. Bow your heads. Today, salvation has been offered to everyone through the blood of Yeshua. But more than that, for those who have gone astray, the blood is always there if they desire to return. Sometimes people make a mistake. They do. But if you can repent of your sin, he will receive you, and that blood will be applied again to wash away that sin. I'm speaking to somebody today. You have thought that you could not live without sinning in the area of sex. I just have to talk. This person is critical to you to hear me this morning. Yes, it is common. Yes, it is the most common sin of the church. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he has loved us, when we were yet in our sins, he died for us. So this person I'm talking to, don't give up. And don't pray the hypocrite. God said, get right. All you have to do is confess your sin and fall on him. Yeshua said, if a man or a woman fall on the stone, they shall be broken. But if the stone have to fall on them, they will be broken into dust. There's still opportunity for those who have sinned to come back and get it straight. And for you who have never been saved, he died for you. And all you have to do is to receive his blood for the remission of your sins. And his blood will wash you and cleanse you from your sins. Now I know, keep your head bowed. I know this is a very special day. And people don't want to get involved in counseling and everything on this day. But I want you to do me a favor. I want you to make a commitment today to say, I want to be saved. And I'm going to be saved. And maybe today they are not doing the counseling, but I want to be saved. And so I will make a gesture. I will make a gesture toward that salvation. And all you have to do is raise your hands, and I'm going to pray for you. Then you can come next Sunday, and we will counsel with you. If you're here today and you say, I want to be saved, I just truly want to be saved. If you raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you right now. If you raise your hands, I'm going to pray for you. Those who are not saved, you want to be saved, raise your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Okay, the second gesture that I want people to make, you who are already saved, but you have not lived according to the resurrection, but you desire to do that, and you desire to return.